Hello and welcome to China Cleantech, Shanghai Chuangxin. China Cleantech is a podcast highlighting the most promising cleantech innovations and people from the Chinese ecosystem. My name is Marilyn Wei Mali, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Andrew Chang, Xiangtian Long. It's a pleasure to be here. Today, we are excited to welcome Lil Shuman, R&D Director for Starfield. Starfield is a Chinese meat substitute startup from Shenzhen, China, with its own R&D team and production line. Since its establishment last year, Starfield has cooperated with many restaurants and food companies, both at home and abroad. Starfield hopes to integrate sustainability into the lives of more people through their plant-based products. Welcome, Shuman.
Thank you, Andrew, for the invitation. I'm honored to be invited to discuss and to tell the story of Starfield.
So first, tell us a little bit about your origin story behind Starfield and inspiration behind joining this startup.
Yeah, so Starfield was founded last year, and the two founders, they were originally opening a vegetarian restaurant. So they have the vegetarian restaurant for over 2 years in Shenzhen. And it's a very popular vegetarian restaurant in Shenzhen. And they were one day they read news that Impossible Foods had the Impossible Burger, where like a lot of people waiting in line to have their Impossible Burger. And they suddenly had the idea that they want to serve the food to the Chinese people to wow them, to make them surprised that vegan food can be delicious and can be so so real. And so, but they found that 2 years ago, they cannot buy Impossible Burger anywhere in China. It's not yet imported till today. So they had the idea that why not just we build a Chinese version of Impossible Foods, where we can create such a product so that Chinese consumers can easily purchase them. So that's the very simple inspiration behind their project. Like, they want Chinese people to experience the top food technology. And for me personally, I was trained as a sociologist and anthropologist. But when I was studying anthropology, when I was pursuing my master's degree in Hong Kong, I became a vegetarian. And so I thought that I learned more about vegetarianism and a plant-based diet. And I know that our diet is not only a personal choice about our health, but it's also a choice that will affect the ecosystem, the environment, and animal rights, and all that are very important things. And I feel that why a lot of people don't know about it. So I decided to make advocating vegetarianism my life career. That's my mission for this life. So after graduating from Chinese University of Hong Kong, I went to New York to culinary school. So I was in New York studying culinary arts. So after that, I came back to China and I work in a lot of places. Like, I work in a vegetarian restaurant, and I wrote articles for magazines just to advocate vegetarianism. And last year, I got to know the founders of Starfield, and we found out that there are really a lot of things we can do together. And I thought that creating a product, creating something that can enter a lot of more people's lives than writing an article. For example, like, maybe my audience, my readers, they are restricted to maybe a very specific group of people who read magazines. But if I contribute to the company, if we produce the products, like, a lot more people can eat our product and maybe reduce their meat intake. So that's the reason why I joined Starfield last year.
Thanks, Shuman. What's your current role at Starfield?
I'm the R&D director at Starfield, and it is divided into two sections. First, we have our own R&D team that consisting most of scientists, PhDs. They are food scientists and chemists, and this kind of scientists, who are the people behind our formulas, the formulas of our products. And the second section of our department is actually culinary application. So first we have the product, and next step is to convert the product into something that our client would like to use. For example, some of our clients are Chinese restaurants. So we use our product to make Chinese dishes that are suitable to their clients. Yeah, so there are basically two sections of the R&D department at Starfield.
All right, just moving on to the next question. You know, you talked briefly about impossible foods. Just diving into that, what makes your technology or ingredients different than impossible foods and other competitors in the marketplace?
First of all, we really respect Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat and all this, because they have attracted so much attention, and it gave us the chance in many aspects. But, you know, Chinese food culture and American food culture is very different. So their diet, their food composition is very different, and their flavor preference is not the same. For example, Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, their product, they have a somewhat barbecue-y, smoky flavor to it. But to the Chinese customer, it's not a very pleasant taste. It's not, when they eat meat, they will not associate that barbecue roast beef flavor to meat. And but for Chinese, like, there are so many different cuisines all over China, and different kinds of different ethnic people, they cook foods, meat differently. So for us, our challenge is to create something that is very neutral in taste, that it can merge into different cuisines, that it can match with different sauces and different kinds of cooking techniques. So so that's the reason we didn't use any artificial flavoring, because if you use one artificial flavoring, it decides the flavor of the product. But we imitate the mechanism of Maillard reaction. So Maillard reaction is when amino acids and sugars, they are heated up, so they will produce some chemicals that will have a very pleasant smell and meaty taste. So instead of adding artificial flavorings to give our product a special taste, we use this technology so that the flavor is released when they are heating our product. So that it can match with different sauces and different cuisines. So that's the reason we only have one ground meat product, but it can be used for burgers, for dumplings, and for all different kinds of products. But if we have that with a barbecue-y flavor, a tone to it, it cannot be used for dumplings, for example.
I agree. I don't want barbecue xiaolongbao.
Yeah.
Not happening. But I have a follow-up to that, because when I was taking business courses in Shanghai, I remember a case study, a very popular case study, around KFC's expansion in mainland China and how successful KFC is. And I'm wondering about that chicken taste. Does Starfield offer that kind of taste right now, or is it more on the beef and pork or other meat? And how do you think about competing or offering alternatives to the fast food side of the Chinese consumer today, which does partake in KFC cuisine? Versus traditional Chinese cuisine that is also very popular, that has a different flavor. How do you approach those two different markets?
Customers like KFC and this kind of Burger King or McDonald's, or they're the very, very big restaurant chains. And if we can make deal with them, it will be very important for a company. And of course, you know, in China, the thing is there are many different kinds of restaurants. They're coexisting. For example, like there are large Chinese food restaurant chains, like Haidilao or Xibei, and there are large Western restaurant chains like KFC and things like that. Yeah, so now we are trying to approach all these clients and to show them our products. And for now, our first product is more of more like a ground beef, but we are developing chicken analogs and pork to a lesser extent. So we have developed something that's similar to a Taiwanese style meat sauce, where you 卤肉酱, where you eat it with rice, and that is the pork flavor. We have developed one product like that, but we haven't launched to the market yet. So we will, our plan is to have all these product lines, but our first and most established and most used is the beef, is the plant-based beef line.
I also read about you guys also put together a plant-based 粽子. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Yeah.
And we have the 粽子 and later we will have mooncakes. Yeah. So, you know, our main strategy is to work with the restaurant chains, because we are a startup company. We're very small in terms of financially and or our branding. So we are very small. So if we want more people to know about us, we have to work with the stronger partners, like the restaurant chains where they are already known to the Chinese consumers. So that's the strategy. And for the retail products, we are not yet very keen, because we think that the plant-based meat market is still very young. So it's relatively easier for the Chinese consumers to go to a restaurant to experience plant-based meat rather than go to the supermarket, where they have so many other choices, and they have, if they buy the plant-based meat and they have to cook it, it's not, I think it's not yet suitable, like at this moment. So, but we are experimenting with some festive foods, like the 粽子. The rice dumpling.
I love
because
it.
Yeah. I love it too. I'm a big fan. I can't wait to get back to China and try this.
Yeah, I totally love it. Yeah, so we work with brands that are established in the field. For example, like 粽子, we work with a company called 竹老大. They have produced 粽子 for over one century. So we work with them and to launch a product where the old meets the traditional meets the new. So, and for the mooncake is the same story. So we work with someone who is really experienced in this area. So we want to give Chinese consumers something new and fresh, and they can try. But for our company, for strategically, it's not our focus yet. But we want to offer something that customers can have when they feel like, yeah. And right. And also, because if we work with the restaurants, it's limited to locations. But if we work with like the prepackaged foods, they can be delivered anywhere.
Absolutely. And also you're tying it into Chinese culture. You're localizing it, right? So
yeah,
sort of, yes. It's sort of beyond the retail stores. It's part of the culture, is part of the cuisine, and it's something that everyone celebrates. So if you can tap into that channel, then it's really great. So awesome to hear that. And I love the different, I love just how localized, when you're talking about using various cooking techniques to release the flavor, because I'm a huge foodie myself. And so many different sauces to activate those flavors. That's great. Really quick, what type of protein are you using at Starfield? You know, there's like mushroom based.
So now we use soy protein and wheat protein mostly, but one of our products also use mushroom fibers and mushroom protein. Now we are also researching into chickpea protein and hemp protein and spirulina protein, things like that.
Spirulina is quite good for one's health, so that's exciting.
Yeah. And it also has a very high protein content.
Right. So that sounds innovative. I haven't heard of folks using spirulina yet.
We are working on that, but we'll launch that very gradually because the supply chain is not yet very mature, and it also adds on the cost. So we have to be very cautious because we want our products to be affordable and approachable. So price control, the cost control is very important for us. So if we use, for example, like spirulina protein, we will probably use a small percentage of that. We will not make a 100% spirulina protein product because the price will be so high.
What role does the Chinese government play in promoting a plant-based diet?
It's quite subtle, you know, for the Chinese government. Last year, I was in Beijing and I attended a meeting where a lot of central government officials also attended. So I can feel that, I can see that clearly that the Chinese government are noticing the plant-based industry. So they know that it's developing and they're supporting it in a way that there will be regulation and industry standards released later this year or early next year. So it is a signal that the Chinese government are recognizing the development of plant-based meat. Chinese government has already made a commitment to reduce the greenhouse gas emission. So there's a department in the government that is responsible for this goal, for reaching this goal. And the chief officer of that department is very aware of how our diet is associated with greenhouse gas emission. So in our company, we are very confident that the Chinese government is quite positive and supportive of plant-based industry, but the formal policies is not yet released.
Shuman, is this going to be a part of the five-year plan? Do you think, is it being discussed in terms of the 15th five-year plan, pushing plant-based diets? I know that reducing greenhouse gas emissions is a part of that discussion. Do you know, or do you expect some policies to come forth in that?
In 2016, the Chinese government has released a new dietary guideline where you can find that the recommended animal protein intake is reduced from the last version. So the government is doing something. They are doing something already. But for their next step, we're still waiting. And for the local government level, we are a plant-based startup, so we have received some favorable policies. For example, if we want to rent office building in some high-tech park, we are encouraged to do so, and we'll have a discount of the rent. So I think this is also a kind of support, and it reflects the government attitudes towards our industry.
Do you know roughly what percentage of the Chinese population is vegetarian or vegan or otherwise mostly plant-based diet consumers?
This is a very good question. And actually, I have searched many times for it, but there's no such data. But estimate is about 1% or lower than 1% vegetarian. And vegan, I think overall, people have a very low awareness of veganism in China yet.
Right. Although I would say there's probably less dairy, milk, and cheese consumption in China than other parts of the world in terms of one of the differences between vegetarian and veganism. What are your thoughts on that?
It's hard to say. Like cheese consumption is definitely much fewer than the American, North American market at the moment. But we can see that a lot of dairy companies, a lot of dairy giants, they are launching new cheese product lines, and especially for the kids, because, you know, for Chinese parents, they now think that cheese is a food that contains high calcium and will make their babies stronger and things like that. So overall, you know, there are several trends coexisting in China. So on the one hand, the urban citizens, they are aware that eating too much meat is not good for their health. Like, there are a lot of cardiovascular diseases already, so they're aware they should reduce meat intake. But on the other hand, like other parts of China, like rural China or a second tier or third tier cities, they still think that meat is a nutritious food. So you can see that overall the animal protein consumption in China is rising rapidly.
Tell us more about your business model and your partnerships. You mentioned earlier targeting some of the big chain channels as part of the plan. Where does that stand right now? And I'm also thinking about kind of daily life in China and the 7-Elevens, right, and the family marts, and how Zongzi and other products are there. Have you thought about those avenues? So what is your distribution channel look like, both now and in the future?
So now our strategy is to focus on the big restaurant chains, and later this year we have partnered with a major Western fast food chain, and they will launch our product in October. So you will see that in China. It has over 2,000 locations. And for the convenience stores, we also we are approaching different convenience stores, and our product will enter one in the fall. So basically, we're trying everything we can to approach all different brands, all different channels. And now the things that have already worked is the restaurant chains. And the convenience stores, we're just starting. And for other restaurants, like the small individual, the boutique restaurants, we haven't started yet. But we are building our distributor system at the moment. So there will be more individual small restaurants that will have our products starting from the fall or next year.
Right. I mean, that sounds exciting. So we will have to have a follow-up in October to see major partner.
I will let you know.
Perfect. Okay. So what are the environmental benefits of switching to plant-based meat?
There are just so many advantages. There are so many benefits. So for the personal health aspect, switching to a more plant-based diet is first of all, it will for people who have weight issues, it will naturally help them lose some weight. And because plant food is more has lower calorie density than meat or cheese. We're talking about natural whole foods here, not chips and fries.
Right.
Yeah. And second, I think I read the China study and like How Not to Die and books like that. So a plant-based diet will also be helpful to reverse some chronic disease and be helpful for cardiovascular diseases. And so that's the health aspect. And for me, it's also very important that if more people are switching to a plant-based diet, less life will be sacrificed. So last month, I visited a major meatpacking company in China. And it just broke my heart to see that trucks and trucks of chickens are are entering, like are shipped into the factory and they're slaughtered there. And the smell in the factory is just so, like, it's bloody, it's smelly, and like there are chicken feathers in the air. So it's really, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's just to continue that. So I think I really hope that if more plant-based startups, more plant-based companies can thrive, then less lives will be sacrificed. And third, for the environment, I think it's very obvious because the energy convert rate of plant-based meat is so much higher than if you are feeding a cow, cattle, or pigs. So I think I just think that the more people should eat more plant-based foods.
Yeah, and to stay on this last point, for our listeners that may be less familiar, when you have to essentially grow the food twice, right? So you grow the grains to then feed the animals, right? That's an extra step in the process.
Yes.
And so the biggest, the most energy intensive would be the four-legged animals, right? Like cows and sheep, and then the two-legged animals like chickens. And then the no-legged ones like seafood, fish, and it's most efficient to go straight to the plant mouth of the cows, right? And rumination, and from the gas. So there's emissions, methane emissions,
yes,
from both ends, so to speak. Is not trivial.
I remember the data from UN. The greenhouse gas emission from the cattle industry consists of 18% of all the greenhouse gas emission. By comparison, all the transportation combined consists of 13%. So I think it's a very telling number.
Right. And then we also have land that's cleared, often deforestation, to make room for,
yes,
raising cattle. So it's just better to go plant-based, right?
Yeah, I totally agree on that. So so that's the reason why I do this. So 5 years ago, I started to become a vegetarian, and I started a blog about vegetarianism, and I'm still writing my blog. So I just think more people should know about it.
Right. I'm also relatively new as a vegetarian. I'm kind of teasing Andrew in the podcast.
I'm not totally there yet. But
I think eating less meat and be aware of that is the most important step. I think that's great. I think that's great.
Yes. I do think China is probably one of the most important markets right now for anything climate change solution oriented,
yes,
from the energy,
yes,
to transportation, to the food and agriculture. And so,
yes,
this is an important endeavor that you're undertaking.
Yeah, it's totally true, because China, with its largest population, anything we do will have a large impact to the world, to the planet. So that's the reason why we are working so hard, and that's the reason why Beyond Meat and Impossible, they want to enter China so much. So I once read an article. It's an interview with Miyoko. So Miyoko is one who created Miyoko's cheese. I think that's the best vegan cheese brand. So Miyoko,
yeah,
said that plant-based industry, like we are it's a mission-based industry. So we are driven by a mission, a vision for a better world. So I think I'm really touched by her talk, and I think that's the same reason behind Starfield, that we are doing it so hard, we're pushing it so hard.
Thank you so much for telling us the story of Starfield, your own story, and about the entire sector and how it's growing and the plans for distributing within China. Anything that you want to leave us with? How do we learn more about Starfield and get in touch and buy your product?
I think I want to share one more interesting findings about Chinese consumers. So we talk much about environmental awareness and animal rights issues, but there are not yet mainstream discourses in China. So when we want to communicate with our clients, when we are launching campaigns, we will not say much about environmental protection or animal rights because Chinese people don't understand it yet, or they don't accept it yet. So our main strategy is to focus on the health benefits and like the how much calorie it has, like half the calorie of real beef. That's the discourses we're using now. But we really hope that one day the Chinese people, they care more about the environmental, where they have more awareness of that, and so that we can tell a whole story of our company. We have to tell the story that Chinese people understand, not something we want to tell. So that's the situation at the moment. But we're also confident that with the younger generations, they're growing up, they will know more and they care more about the environment, and they're willing to purchase because of their values. And for where you can experience Starfield's product, we have now collaborated with Haiti. Haiti Xicha is the number one beverage and the tea brand. They also have bread and sandwiches. So you can have our products at Haiti stores nationwide. And now we're also working with a few more Chinese restaurant chains. So just for anyone who wants to taste our product, you can just go to Haiti at the moment, and there will be more restaurants in the future. And hopefully next year you can have our product whenever you want. That's our goal.
Awesome. Suman, thank you so much for joining us on today's China Cleantech podcast. We look forward to tasting your good work, and we appreciate your vision, your inspiration, your drive to really push a plant-based diet towards Chinese consumers, but also just how you're localizing it and the various different dishes and products that you offer. Can't wait to try them all.
Thank you so much, Andrew, and thank you so much, Marilyn. And hopefully Marilyn can come to China and I'll show you around, and I'll show you how our products can be converted into delicious Chinese foods.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm looking forward to the new Xiaolongbao. the plant-based version.
Okay.
Yeah. So what did you think?
I thought it was really inspiring that a startup is going after the Chinese market for plant-based meat alternatives, because I think without that, it can be hard to just increase the plant-based diet consumption and decrease, of course, the meat consumption. So I think it's similar to another interview that we did where someone was inspired by something happening outside of China and looking to localize that idea. And so I think that it kind of proves how the Chinese consumer is not going to wait for a Western company to grow to a scale to then ship to China, right? Like this, it needs to happen much quicker than that. And Chinese entrepreneurs are ready to make that happen. So I thought that was really cool. And I'm excited to hear about their big distributor come October.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And it's definitely a uphill battle, right? I mean, less than 1% are vegetarians, and probably even less than that are vegans. You know, I'm part of the 99% that are meat consumers. And I think the education and adoption part of it is difficult. Yes, you can educate, but at the end of the day, taste is king, right? And so people love things that taste good, you know, at its as very fundamental driver. And so if there's a way to incorporate various foods, but also taste really good, I think that's the way in. You know, I think she mentioned trying to pitch animal rights, environmental protection. Like, if you're leading with that message, it's not going to catch on with most people, right? And especially in rural areas where, like, eating meat is a luxury, right? And it's more expensive. And so how do you tell that story to those people who are, you know, saying that, hey, meat is something that, like, we rarely have, but when we do, we, you know, we truly appreciate it and value that. So I think it's localizing the dishes. It's, you know, creating different tastes and products, and marketing with the right message. So it seems like she's got that, like, the Chinese consumer insight really nailed down, which is good.
And I think what she mentioned about health, leading with health, it's good for your health, is something that has also been done in Western markets. So there's a well-known documentary called What the Health that helped to expand the general consumer knowledge around vegan diets. There is a documentary out recently that's called Invisible Vegan, about African Americans actually in the vegan movement. And it really centers on health. Like, this is good for your health. There's so much obesity and heart disease and all of these things. And hey, this is a way of leading a healthy lifestyle. And so I think there's actually that commonality in terms of expanding plant-based diets beyond those that just care about something in a niche manner, as opposed to mainstreaming it for those that care about their health in general.
I'm excited to see which restaurant food chain they've partnered with come October. Yeah. Any guesses?
She said it was a Western chain, and I know that they don't have a chicken-like product. It is a beef-like product. So I'm assuming it's going to be either Burger King or McDonald's or one of those burger chains. Maybe Carl's Jr. I know that's in China. I don't know. Let's see. But
that's your guess. It's interesting. Yeah. I saw White Castle trying this out as well. It wasn't with Starfield. It was, I forget the other company. I think it might have been Beyond Meat. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I saw White Castle was also promoting this here in China. So I think it's catching on. It's definitely catching on.
And I think the, you know, 1% for the Chinese population is actually quite substantial, right? I think the U.S. veggie population is maybe 5% of the population. It's actually pretty high in places like Germany, where I think it can get up to like 20%. But I think that's still, 1% of in the billions is still pretty significant. And so I think that's still a good place to start. And I wonder, for those urbanites who are really conscious about eating organically and are buying very safe baby milk for their children and things of that nature, if they can cross over into this plant-based lifestyle, as you have, you know, partially, which also makes a big difference in terms of just reducing meat consumption.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. I was reading on one of the articles about Starfield, and someone mentioned that Buddhists have been making mock meat products way before anyone else was doing it, before it was cool. A lot of their dishes were tofu based, right? And used to replicate fish and shrimp. And it's just also just a really interesting fact. And
that's a great point. It's like, actually, no, this actually is very authentically Chinese. The idea of mocking meat goes way back.
Yeah.
Like thousands of years.
yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, I look forward to, I'm going to be making a couple business trips to Shenzhen, so I hope to meet her and taste her product. I do remember going to a meeting at the Asian Development Bank in Manila 2 years ago, and Impossible Foods was there. And Impossible Foods is local, right? They've got their factory set up in East Oakland. I had their burger at Umami Burger just in downtown Oakland. That was really good. But sorry, going back to ADB, like this was like, I think 3 years ago, and they're giving everyone just sort of taste testers.
Right.
And then people were very impressed.
Have you had Starfield yet?
I have not.
Have you tasted it?
I have not.
Okay, well, do that and let me know what you think. I think Shuman is right. It's all about taste and health, right? They have to come together.